Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host for beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, the program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. If you had a chance to tune into the program last week, you know, we spent the week focusing on the Eucharist, on the Eucharist as the source and summit of our faith, and the gift that the Lord has given the church to perpetually represent and to be connected to and to feed upon and reflect on and live in Jesus' self-offering to the Father, Jesus offering of his life in love out of obedience to the Father for the sake of our salvation, the giving up of his life. And so one of the things I pointed to last week, which I think is pretty obvious, but I'll just underline it again, is the fact that the Eucharist is not only the source and summit of our faith, but it teaches us, Jesus teaches us in the Eucharist. And it's just why it's so important for us to make sure we're there frequently every Sunday and as often as we can go, to just be there with brothers and sisters, sinful human beings that are baptized into Christ, have been called by Jesus. He gathers us around him and he speaks to us through his word, through the readings, and then he represents by the power of the Holy Spirit the one death he died for all of us that happened at one time in history, the shedding of his blood that brought down the kingdom of darkness and made it possible for us who are far off and separated from God to be brought into God's presence and literally to become a dwelling place of God, each and every one of us. I mean, in some ways, the destiny, Jesus' incarnation and his whole coming, the point of it was ultimately so that he could make you and me a dwelling place of God, that he could come and live in us. Remember the beginning of the scriptures, the story of Genesis. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. His plan was to have a place where he could dwell with those he made in his image and likeness and to reveal himself and to live in communion with them. But sin separated, pride, the temptation of the devil, first of all, his pride and the seduction of Adam and Eve broke that communion, broke that living fellowship, broke the capacity to be living in God's presence. And the whole story of the scripture and the whole story of salvation really is God acting to make it possible for us to dwell with him again, where God would be all in all. We say, so in the book of Revelation, we can see very powerful scriptures. For example, in Revelation 21, 1 through 4, it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her bridegroom. From the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them.'" This is the whole destiny or the goal of the Father's plan of salvation and why Jesus became one of us. In order for us to become temples of the living God, God's plan was not just to give us a new set of commandments or ways in which we can live our life according to higher principles or virtues. All those things are part of God's plan for us. But his fundamental plan was to come and deal with everything that separated us from God, which is the sin problem dwelling in us, the death problem, which causes us to be eternally separated from God, dying in sin, being separated from relationship with God. He came to us in the person of his Son. Jesus took on human flesh and became what humanity was meant to be, obedient, loving, humble, surrendered, walking in love, loving God first, loving neighbor, resisting evil, trusting God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus became, Scripture says, the second Adam. Where Adam failed to stand, he was seduced by the pride of the devil, which broke the relationship with God, as I was saying. It was pride in Adam as well, and pride in the human heart that separates human beings from God. But it was the humility of Jesus, his condescension, his becoming one of us. He brought heaven to earth, and Jesus was and always will be the perfection of the Father's plan and the fullness of time. What's revealed is How does the Father desire to save us? What is salvation all about? Well, look at Jesus. Heaven and earth are united in a person. In the person of Jesus Christ, human flesh, humanity, which had been separated from God, without hope in this world, as St. Paul says, as a result of that separation due to sin, had no power or capacity to be able to come into the presence of God on our own resources or to be united to God. And for God so loved the world that in the fullness of time he gave his only Son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. And what do we believe about Jesus? That he's God's beloved Son, that he died for our sins, that he was raised for our justification, that he reigns at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. By his act of love on the cross, by his humility, his yes to the Father, he broke the back of demonic pride and human pride, and he gave in himself to the Father everything that the Father had destined for human beings to give to God. Those who bore his image, who bear his image, are meant to live in a relationship of radical abandonment of trust and love and surrender, to know by God's gift we're the crown of creation. We're all part of his created order, and it was made for his Son, through his Son, for the glory of God the Father. And we were meant to shine and be a part of that and be the crown of that creation, living with the Father. But sin broke that plan of God at work in us. Jesus restored the Father's plan and raised it to a whole new level. And he shows us, and the reason I wanted to circle back on this today is to see in the Eucharist the most profound teaching vehicle, the most profound teaching instrument, the most profound reality that we touch in this life of Jesus' communication to us of what it means to be like, how to live like him, what it means to be a son of God and a daughter of God. How do we actually live? How do we orient ourselves to reality? How do we lay hold of our purpose, our destiny? How do we walk in the perfection, the fulfillment of what we're meant to be? Jesus constantly, daily, throughout the entire world, his sacrifice is being offered, and it's teaching us. Jesus is saying, come, draw near to me. I told you I'll be with you always, and one of the ways he's with us always is sacramentally present in the church and in the most unique and beautiful way, presenting himself here at the Eucharist and letting us see and touch and even taste the reality of his offering, the offering of his life, that sacrifice by which we are saved. And Jesus speaks to us so clearly there and so personally. So many of us are lost and confused and often discouraged, and we're looking for the right path and how we should live and where one can find fulfillment and the rest. And Jesus is right there, humbly, consistently, perfectly, quietly, gently, speaking to each one of us to say, trust me, come follow me. Imitate me, be of one mind and one heart with me. You can trust me that I have revealed to you in that act of love on Calvary and all of Jesus' teaching and his whole life and the rest, and then the gift of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit too, you know, that makes it possible both for the Spirit of God makes present the sacrifice of Christ on Calvary. It's sacramentally present. It's the Spirit who makes that a reality, and the Spirit who dwells in us speaks to us and teaches us and draws us more deeply into Jesus and Jesus' sacrifice. Friends, every single one of us are meant to reach the destiny, live the life, and walk the path and reach the destiny that Jesus reveals to us. He's speaking to us very personally. He's saying, be not afraid. I'm with you always. Don't be confused or frightened about who you are and about the world you're living in. Understand, I'll show you who you are. I'll show you how you're called to live. I'll show you the way to absolute, radical, total fulfillment, to full joy, to full life, to reaching your ultimate destiny, to living the most purposeful, meaningful life that can possibly be lived on this planet. Jesus is there to teach us, to show us, and to guide us. And St. Paul reminds us, he said, now, test your faith. Do you know that you're a temple of the Holy Spirit? Jesus' death on the cross was all about making it possible for God to come and dwell in us. And by virtue of that indwelling, we become a new creation. We begin to live in Jesus' new reality, his existence beyond death. What scripture refers to, theologians talk about the already and the not yet. Jesus is in the fullness of everything God intends for the human race. He's taken human flesh. He's taken us into glory, into the presence of the Father. And he's taken his seat on the throne. He's planted the flag of the destiny of the human race where we're called to be and go. And we receive a foretaste, a participation in. We get united to Jesus' victory in being baptized into Christ in baptism, having our sins forgiven and having the divine life being given to us. So there's a new power and there's a new capacity in us. There's a unity with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The dwelling has begun. The indwelling of God has literally begun. But it's not just him dwelling in me, him dwelling in all the baptized. And that's what we see in the Eucharist and just what Jesus is teaching us. He's saying, Peter, I've come to dwell in you, to save you, to draw you into relationship with the Father, with my relationship with the Father and the Spirit, but not just you individually, you separately. I'm forming a people. Every race, tribe, and nation has been baptized into me, Jesus said. All share the same life principle, the Spirit of God that makes communion with God possible and makes it possible for us to be a family. And the Eucharist is the place, it's the family meal, it's the banquet. He gathers us together to forgive us, to cleanse us, to teach us, to form us, to feed us, to lift us, to bring us into the presence of God the Father. And as I mentioned last week, Eucharist reaches back in time to Calvary and it reaches into eternity. Time and eternity come together right there on the altar. The past, the present, future are all there. And we're being drawn up into the victory of Jesus. And through the humble means of, you know, of bread and wine, the matter, bread and wine, and human flesh, all of us are there. We enter into, the veil gets drawn back. Heaven and earth is open. There's an open heaven there. And there's an interchange between heaven and earth. And we're present there. And we're meant to be present together. Because Jesus is forming one new man. He's forming a united body, a family, to gather around the table and to say yes with one voice, Father, yes, we lift up our praise to you. We worship you and thank you for the gift of your Son. And we confess Jesus as Lord. We confess that he's the one that's drawing us together. He's the only Savior. And we want to be like him. We want to live like him. We want to look like him. And Father, we want to die like him. We want to give our whole life to you. Friends, it's such a precious, precious gift and grace to walk in. Let's walk in it today the best we can by God's grace. Have a good day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to offer you Ralph Martin's booklet, Mary's Mission, Our Response, in which he describes the extraordinary role Our Lady has in the mission of the Church. Even in our day, in this hour, the Lord is using her with such profound grace and strength. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.